We begin with crime news. Police in Carrboro have arrested a suspect in the shooting that took place last Friday in the parking deck at 370 East Main Street. 20-year-old Larwa of Graham has been charged with 6 counts of assault with a deadly weapon with intent to kill. Police say the incident began with an argument between 2 groups of people that escalated into a physical altercation and ultimately shots fired. 2 people suffered non-life-threatening injuries. Police initially said neither of the injuries came from the shots fired, but further investigation revealed that one of the injuries did come from the shooting. Over now to campus, where UNC held an emergency safety and awareness festival yesterday with local and state law enforcement and other public safety agencies on hand to educate students on preparedness. Also on hand were some special visitors, the undead. 97.9 The Hill's Brighton McConnell has more on that story.
The pit on UNC's campus is treated as a central hub of activity during the school year. Walking by, you can typically see just about anything happening. And on Thursday, that included zombies. About a dozen zombies dressed in Hollywood-level makeup roamed around the pit and between booths set up by fire, police, UNC officers, and more. The Zombie Preparedness Festival was held with the purpose of showing students that if they could be prepared to deal with zombies, they can prepare for much more common emergencies and hazards. Daryl Jeter, who leads UNC's Emergency Management Department, said the National Centers for Disease Control initially came up with the phrase in 2011. The university got the idea to hold its own festival a few years ago, with the return from COVID-19 delays being the perfect time to remind students of important measures to take. Jeter said while the topic of crisis preparedness might not be top of mind for college students, it's critical they know what to do in an emergency.
So while their focus needs to be learning and the campus experience, we also realize that sometimes they might encounter unsafe situations. And so we want to make sure that they know while they're here on campus, we have their safety top of mind for us. But campus safety is all of our responsibility. So we want to partner with them so that they can help take care of themselves while we make sure we take care of the broader community.
To help educate students, the Zombie Preparedness Festival set up all kinds of demonstrations and learning opportunities. There were self-defense tutorials, cooking suggestions and safety tips, reminders to monitor mental well-being, drunk driving prevention, and fire safety practice. That included, for first-year student Azario Cludi, trying to use a fire extinguisher.
I guess it's a good thing. I've never had to use a fire extinguisher before, but this is very helpful to know for the future.
As if zombies weren't eye-catching enough, part of the festival included a demonstration on the difference in-room fire sprinklers make during a blaze. 2 model dorm rooms were set up in Polk Place on campus and set on fire to show the extent of damage and the danger of tampering or removing a sprinkler system. Chapel Hill Fire Department led that spectacle, with Public Information Officer Alex Carrasquillo saying students should remember that campus falls within the department's response area. He also said the visual and hands-on components of the day effectively helped educate the students he saw drop by.
A lot of our setups had attention because you could try something and see something and experience something versus stopping by and us not having much to show. So I think having that hands-on element really helps get the message across.
That also rang true for UNC freshman Jacob Emajuru, who watched the fire demonstration and said it reflected, quote, the price of not being prepared.
While we're told this, it's better to visualize it and see it, because that dorm room, it looks a sort of bit like my dorm room, and you know, with my stuffed animals and my blankets, and I'm like, okay, that could be me if I don't get automatic sprinklers.
Emajuru said the booths and information in the pit on Thursday may have even sparked an interest in exploring public safety or emergency response as a career.
My mom, she has this motto for like preparedness. She says like people who are overprepared are always idiots except for the one moment where they're geniuses. You know, like, oh, you may prepare, you may go through all these fire drills and you may think they're annoying or they're like superfluous, but there comes a day where that really, really matters.
Jeter echoed that message, saying he hopes all community members in Greater Chapel Hill will take action to be informed, prepared, and empowered to confront any emergency that may arise, including, if necessary, zombies. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
Elsewhere in Chapel Hill, talks continue on plans to redevelop the current police station site at 828 MLK Boulevard, but officials say the timeline has slowed down. Residents opposed to development have raised concerns about coal ash on the site, but the biggest obstacle is actually rising construction costs. Here's Chapel Hill Town Council member Jess Anderson.
As we have been seeing across the country, construction costs are impacting a lot of projects. And we've learned that this will significantly impact the project as proposed. We've been considering kind of two paths. One is the Municipal Services Center only, or the Municipal Services Center with private development. So now staff is really looking at a phased approach. So what we're hoping is that we can move ahead with mitigation and the Municipal Services Center. We really need to get our staff in there and get a new police station and get a good place for our staff to be. Then it makes sure the site can be safe for all other uses in the future. But we're going to put a hold on the other uses for now just because the cost of construction has really made it prohibitory. So that'll be coming back to us later this fall.
That's Town Council member Jess Anderson speaking there on 97.9 The Hill. You can listen back to the full conversation in the News on the Hill section of our website, chapelboro.com. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Omaha's Jewelers. We'll get to UNC football in a second. First of all, a nice win last night for third-ranked Tar Heel women's soccer, 1-0 at Syracuse. Tori Della Peruta got the goal in the 32nd minute as UNC bounced back from a weekend loss to Virginia. The Heels are back home on Sunday, hosting Boston College at 1. That BC match is part of another busy weekend for UNC athletics. Second-ranked Tar Heel field hockey is at home today. They're hosting number 15 Wake Forest at 4. UNC volleyball is on the road this weekend. Tonight, they're taking on 10th-ranked Pitt, and then they've got Virginia Sunday at 1. UNC men's soccer is also on the road. They, too, are facing Notre Dame at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. And, of course, we got the UNC football game in Keenan Stadium, 3:30 tomorrow. Tar Heels hosting Notre Dame. The Fighting Irish will be without starting quarterback Tyler Buckner. He's out with a season-ending injury, so the Tar Heel defense will be up against backup Drew Pine, who will be making just his second career start behind center. Here's UNC assistant head coach for defense Gene Chizik talking about Pine.
I think he's a very talented young man. I think obviously when you get thrown into a starting role in the conditions that, you know, that he was put in, you know, it takes some getting used to. So as far as us preparing for him, I think Tommy Reese, the offensive coordinator, does a really, really good job of giving him things that give him a chance to succeed. Like if you look at the game last week, you know, the first play was an easy access throw. The second play was a tailback slip screen. I think he was easing him into the game right now. And again, that's what you have to do with young quarterbacks, right? So, but they're going to, their staple is going to be the run game for sure. You could see as the game went on, they had some things for him in the passing game that he got comfortable with. Thought he sat in the pocket really, really well once, you know, the game kind of went on. I thought he got more confidence. He was more poised. He sat back in the pocket and was not jittery. You know, he was looking down the field. And he hit a couple of really big throws. Obviously, the tailbacks in the run game were a huge deal for them Saturday. And all those things can take pressure off a quarterback like that. So, but as the game went on, you could see him, you know, get confidence. And obviously, when you win a game like that, that does a lot for your confidence as well. So, but it was good to at least see a game on him.
That's Gene Chizik speaking there. Saturday's game is sold out, and UNC is warning fans about counterfeit tickets. So if you're buying tickets, make sure you're only going through the UNC ticket office or StubHub. That game's also going to be televised on ABC, and of course, you can catch all the action right here on 97.9 The Hill. Our pregame coverage starts at 12:30 with Inside Carolina Live. And in baseball, an exciting win last night for the Durham Bulls. Tristan Gray hit a walk-off two-run homer in the 10th inning as the Bulls down Norfolk 7-6 to maintain a game-and-a-half lead in the standings now with just 6 games left to play. Bulls are back in action tonight, hosting the Tides at 6:35.